मंगल हो, शुभ मंगल 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 हो, शुभ मंगल 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 हो, शुभ मंगल 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 हो।
Govinda, Hari Purusha, Namaham Bhajami. Hare Krishna, Namaste. Welcome to the Waves of Devotion at 106.1 FM. This program is brought to you by Hare Krishna Dham, ISKCON, Houston. You can also listen to us on the internet at tunein.com or by downloading TuneIn app on your smartphone. Just search for 106.1 FM. That's 106.1 FM. We are on air every Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. So happy Easter, all Houstonians out there listening to this wonderful program. This is again brought to you by ISKCON Houston, Hare Krishna Dham, 1320 West 34th Street, Houston, Texas 77018. You can also visit us at iskonhouston.org, iskconhouston.org. So let's start our Easter by glorifying the Lord and by reading His words from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Today we'll be reading from the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita named The Opulence of the Absolute. And we have with us in our studio a very talented young girl, Radha Chenna, who would be co-hosting with me, your host, Advaita Chandra Das. All right, so without further ado, let's start with the reading of Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
baho shrinu me paramam vacha yatte ham priyamanaya bakshyami hitakamyaya.
Which I shall impart to you for your benefit, and which will give you great joy.
Text 2. Name vidu suragana prabhavam namaharshaya aham adir hidevana maharishinam cha sarvasha.
Neither the hosts of demigods, nor the great sages, know my origin. For, in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and the sages.
Yo mam ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram asam mudha samardyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate.
He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he, undiluted among men, is freed from all sins.
Text 4 and 5. Buddhir jnanam asam moha shama satyam tama shama sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushtis tapodanam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutana mattaeva prithak vidha.
Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, self-control and calmness, pleasure and pain, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy are created by me alone.
Maharishaya sapta purve chatvaro manavas tatha madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima praja.
The seven great sages, and before them the four other great sages, and the manus, are born out of my mind, and all creatures in these planets descend from them.
Text 7. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mam yogeti tatvata so vikalpena yogena yujyate natra samshaya.
He who knows and chooses this glory and power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt.
Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam bhutate iti matva bhajante buddha bhava samarpita.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha.
The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss in lighting one another and conversing about me.
Text 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te.
To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me.
Text 11. Tesham evanukam partham aham agyanajam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavastho jnanadipena bhasvata.
Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance.
Text 12-13. Arjuna uvacha param brahma param dhamma pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum ahustvam rishaya sarve devarishir naradastatha asito devalo vyasa svayam chaiva bravishime.
Arjuna said, "You are the supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original. And you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. All the great sages, such as Narada, Ashita, Devala, and Vyasa, proclaim this of you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Thank you. Hare Hare.
welcome back. You are listening to the Waves of Devotion at 106.1 FM. You can also listen to us on the internet at tunein.com or simply download the TuneIn app on your smartphone. Search for 106.1 FM. So, today is Easter Sunday. We wish all Houstonians a happy Easter. And to give a little insight on this holiday, on Easter Sunday, Christians celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the most well-attended Sunday service of the year for all Christian churches. And Christians believe that according to the scripture, Jesus came back to life, or in other words, was raised from the dead, 3 days after his death on the cross. And as a part of the Easter season, the death of Jesus Christ by crucifixion is commemorated on Good Friday, always the Friday just before Easter. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus paid the penalty for sin, thus purchasing for all who believe in him eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Krishna, Krishna. That's really interesting that you mentioned there, where you said that Jesus Christ. And I was thinking that there's a lot of similarities between Christ and Krishna. I mean, for example, take the name Christ. Actually, it is said it comes from the Latin word Christos. And Christos comes from the Sanskrit word Krishta. Krishta means, any guesses what Krishta would mean?
No, actually, would you like to explain?
Krishta. Krishta means one who attracts. You know, there's a word in Sanskrit called Akrishta. Akrishta means one who attracts. And that comes from the word Krishna. Krishna means one who is all attractive. So, actually, Jesus always said he's the son of Christ. And Christ is none other than Krishna. So, we understand Jesus is the son of God. And the God that he's referring to is the same God that Hindus refer to, who is none other than Krishna. Interesting, isn't it?
Very, actually.
There are so many other similarities. You know, Christ, he died for the sins of others. And, of course, as history goes, it was the Romans who actually crucified him on the cross. But he was actually asking for forgiveness for those people. He was saying this very famous saying that, Oh Lord, please forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And this is the basic quality that Jesus taught during his life on earth. He exemplified forgiveness. Now, this reminded me of a saint in 16th century India. His name was Haridas Thakur. Have you heard of Haridas Thakur?
I think I have, but I'm not sure. Would you, care to explain?
Yeah. Haridas Thakur, he was a saint in 16th century India. And interestingly, he was actually a Muslim by birth.
A Muslim?
Yeah.
Wow.
And somehow he actually came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he developed an attraction to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Yep, that's the same mantra that he developed attraction to. And he started chanting it. And because of chanting this Maha Mantra and hearing it, these sound vibrations purified his mind and his heart. And he became very attached to chanting the mantra. So much so that all good qualities started developing in him. And being attracted by these good qualities, all of the people in the kingdom started becoming attracted to him, and they started coming to him for guidance and things like that. And he would guide them by asking them to chant Hare Krishna. And in this way, there was a whole village after village which started chanting Hare Krishna. Now, in 16th century, he was in Bengal, and India was at that time ruled by the Mughals. And so the Muslim king did not like it at all. And he became very, very angry. And he asked Haridas Thakur that you must stop chanting Hare Krishna. Do you know what he said?
I bet he said no.
Yeah, he said, well, I would like to follow your orders. I would want to follow your orders, but I just am not able to stop chanting. It's just become so natural to me to chant Hare Krishna. And the king became very angry. He said, all right, I order that you be beaten in 22 marketplaces.
22?
22, not one, not two, 22 marketplaces. And one, and in marketplace, they would beat just to set an example for others that, look, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. And he was made an example. So he was being beaten, and generally people don't survive more than 3 or 4 marketplaces because they are being beaten. And Haridas Thakur, he went one marketplace, two, and he was continuously being beaten. And with every beat, he was chanting.
He didn't stop?
He didn't stop. He chanted Hare Krishna. He continued chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And then the people, the soldiers who were tasked with beating him, they became tired. And they started asking, Haridas Thakur, no one survives this beyond 4 marketplaces. It's been 16 marketplaces now.
16?
Yes.
And he survived all of them.
All of them. And you are just continuing to chant Hare Krishna. And you're surviving this. If you survive these 22 marketplaces, guess what's going to happen to us?
Oh, heads chopped off.
Yep. The king is not going to leave us. So please, please die.
That's nice of them.
So because Haridas Thakur, he didn't have any grudge against the people who were beating him or even against the king who ordered his beating. He actually had already forgiven them. At the same time, he felt compassion towards these soldiers. And so he said, all right, because of chanting Hare Krishna, he had developed the power to leave his body at will. And so he said, all right, you just take me and throw me into the river, into the ocean. It was near the Bay of Bengal. So he said, just throw me into the ocean and just go back and tell that I'm dead. So they did that. They threw him in the ocean, and everyone was happy. Of course, the soldiers were sad at heart. That is the effect that a devotee can have. One who is chanting Hare Krishna, is even your enemies feel for you. Even the enemies become friends. And then, guess what happened the next day?
I would love you to continue.
Next day, Haridas Thakur came back from the ocean, full of all water dripping down his body. And he was just wearing one dhoti, and he came out into the beach, into the marketplace, and continued chanting Hare Krishna again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Haridas Thakur ki
jai.
Jesus Christ ki jai. So we can see there is this common thread in all religions that forgiveness is a very, very important quality. And on and today, on this day of Easter, we can remember Jesus Christ and try to imbibe this wonderful quality that he has exemplified in his life.
And that's very interesting because he was born in a Muslim family and he got attracted to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Yes. So what does that tell you?
That it can be possible for anyone, you know.
Yes. The Hare Krishna Mantra, it's a very wonderful point that you brought out because, you know, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he said that by chanting Hare Krishna, it's not like you will become converted to a different religion. He said, if a Muslim chants Hare Krishna, he'll become a better Muslim. If a Christian chants Hare Krishna, he'll become a better Christian. We don't want to convert anyone from their religion to another religion. Because Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, it does not talk about religion the way we know today. Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago when none of the contemporary religions existed. So its actually instructions are much beyond the basis of conversion and things like that that sometimes go on today. So religion in today's world, when you say, oh, this is a religion, people feel religion means it tells you what to do, it tells you this is what you have to have faith in, and you just accept it or not.
Yeah, that's very true.
But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna consciousness, is not a religion in this sense. Because
so what would you describe ISKCON, Krishna consciousness, as?
Srila Prabhupada described it as a process, not a religion. In religion, you have to start with 100% faith. But in Krishna consciousness, you take up to the process. You have to just give a benefit of doubt. Start with 1% faith. You don't have to start with 100% faith that this is what it is and that's there's no other way. You start with 1% faith and apply the process in your life. Try by applying to chant Hare Krishna in your life. Just give an experiment. You don't have to have 100% faith. Just try it out. And slowly you will see, you will find the results. You will experience the results yourself. You don't have to believe in anyone else. You will experience it yourself, and then your faith will increase to 2%. And then it will increase to 3%. It will keep going on and keep increasing till it comes to 100%.
So you say that you will be experienced by the results. Do you know what kind of experiences you will feel?
Well, that's an interesting question. We have 3 minutes left, and I'll see what justice I can do to this. Or we can actually continue this next week. This is a very interesting question. What are the changes that you may experience? What are the kind of things that you experience? The first thing that you will experience is that your mind will become much more calm. All the agitation in the mind that is there, the agitation will calm down. Of all anger, sometimes people become agitated by being angry. Sometimes they become agitated by envy towards others. How can this person be better than me? Sometimes they become agitated by pride. Oh, I'm better than this person. And so at every moment these kind of thoughts keep coming in our mind, which just end up making us frustrated. So the first thing that will happen if we are applying the process properly, that these things will slowly calm down. And that you will experience. Then if you continue, keep going, you will see that just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and hearing it attentively, these sound vibrations will give you some kind of spiritual bliss, some pleasure. When you hear kirtans, when you hear chanting of the holy names. It will come from a place in your heart which you may never have experienced. And this pleasure, only you can say whether you're experiencing or not. In traditional religions, others tell you, this is what it is, and you just have to accept. You cannot ask any questions. But in Krishna consciousness, you experience it, and you can ask questions. That's a very foreign concept in religion, generally. You can ask. Bhagavad Gita is all question and answers. Arjuna is sometimes asking very challenging questions to Krishna in a mood of humility, but very challenging questions. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. That's what Haridas Thakur was trying to preach, that even being a Muslim, you can chant Hare Krishna. Being a Christian, you can chant Hare Krishna.